keep your hand up till they bring you one. You're welcome to keep it. As I mentioned, we are in a war as believers. And of all the years I've been a Christian and served as a pastor and minister of the gospel, I've never had a week like I've had. Yet it's just been so satanic and such a spiritual battle. I'm really comforted by being able to be in church with you today and to be able to open up God's word and to pray and to worship the Lord together. All week long, I've been asking, Lord, give me something that I can share that has to do with the military warfare. And I struggled and wrestled. And we're just going to get right into the Gospel of Mark, where we've been, because we're going to look at a battlefield this morning that a lot of people are very much unaware of. And it's a spiritual battle. Mark chapter 5, if you would, please, with me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the men and women that served this great nation so that we can say we are one nation under God. I pray, Father, that we would turn back to you. As the enemy goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but yet we have victory in you, Lord. I pray that you would raise up an army, Lord, to do battle against principalities and powers of darkness in heavenly places. This morning, challenge us to have on the full armor of God, to pray, to intercede for our president, for those that serve this great nation, imperfect men and women. And I pray, Lord, for revival in this great nation that we so love. Even our flag with the blue speaks of heaven, and the stars speak of your people numbered more than the stars in the heavens. The red stripes, by your stripes we are healed, Lord. The white stripes, that we might be made white as snow. Thank you, God, that even our flag testifies of you. And so this morning, with open Bibles and open hearts and open ears, I pray that you would lead us and teach us and guide us in all truth this morning. Thank you for the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week at the end of chapter 4, Jesus had just calmed a great windstorm on the Sea of Galilee with just three words. Peace, be still. There's power in the word of God, isn't there? There's power in the incredible words that are God-breathed into this book called the Bible. That's why the enemy wants to remove it from our nation. We have power. We have the words of eternal life. We have the truth before us in a nation that's been bombarded by half-truths and lies and just nothing but hatred and bitterness and ugliness. A lot of people are fleeing California. I'm staying. Light shines the greatest in darkness. I don't need to be on R&R. We need to be on the battlefield. And it's a battlefield. It's not a playground. It's a battleground. We're going to get to rest one day, but it's not this side of heaven. I would encourage you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We have victory in Jesus Christ. We have peace, don't we? Even in the midst of the storm that we are in, we have peace. The disciples, being exceedingly fearful, said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the waves obey him?" And as I shared last night, of all creation, stars, the heavens, the earth, everything, it's subject to God's power, and the only thing that really doesn't obey God is mankind. He's given us a free will and a free won't. My prayer is that we would return to obeying the true and the living God. Still, even up to this point, after all the convincing evidence that they had seen, Jesus' deity and being Messiah, they're asking themselves, who can this be? Can you imagine? All that they had seen and all that they had heard, and they were still in wonder. Who is this? And having seen his power over the supernatural, as well as disease and deformity and even death, and yet they're still slow to believe, Jesus said. He told them that. Why are you so slow to believe? And as Jesus said to them after calming the great storm, how is it that you have no faith? And that'll be the first challenge for all of us in the Lord's army here this morning. If you're going to do battle, we need to have faith. We don't walk by feeling. There's too much feely-feely good stuff in these churches today. We need to get back to the basics of walking by faith in God's word. And it's not how we feel, because I don't always feel good as a believer. But I'll tell you what, I always have the joy of the Lord because I rely on his word. It's hidden in my heart. And I think we need to have faith like never before, and faith comes by hearing the word of God. Even after he had said to them, let us cross over to the other side, that they doubted his word. Do you take God's word literally? We need to start taking God's word literally. And when he said to them, let's cross and go to the other side, he meant it. We have the same promise today. We're going to the other side. We're going to get there. We're not going under. We're going over. They doubted his word. They actually accused him, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, of not caring that they were perishing. Man, you talk about a slap in the face to the Lord. But you know what? Today Christians say the same thing. Lord, don't you care? Can't you see? He sees everything. He knows everything that's going on. He came into this world so that we would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so lo and behold, verse 1 this morning tells us that guess what? They came to the other side. Then they came to the other side of the sea. Yes, just as Jesus had said. They should have known, they should have understood by now that Jesus was going to die on a cross, not on a cross over to the other side. He was going to die a brutal death on the cross. He wasn't going to die by drowning. They tried to arrest him. They were trying to stone him and all these other things, but he had a divine appointment. He is sovereign God. And on Passover, he would be the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He came to die a brutal death on the cross, and nothing was going to hinder that. But today, we too fear exceedingly. We too are slow to believe. And at times, we too have no faith. Why? Because we fail to remember his promise, and we fail to remember his presence. We have it actually better than the disciples had early on because we are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit and sealed for the day of redemption. We have all 66 books of God's incredible Bible, the Holy Scriptures. And so after calming the storm and after calming the disciples' hearts, imagine a bunch of, burly fishermen just shaking in their sandals. Can you imagine what that must have looked like? And it's not that it was their first trip out onto the Sea of Galilee. That was a living for most of them. They'd seen the storms. But here they are, having to have their hearts calmed by the Lord. And so they arrive after a six-mile journey across the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles by about 13 miles. They go to a country, it tells us in the second part of verse 1, of the Gadarenes. Notice what it says. And they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Man, can you imagine living in an area that was terrorized by someone like this man? Matthew tells us there were two demoniacs. But yet they tell us what is going on here by the one that speaks here in a moment. And so Jesus had just proven his divine power over the wind and over the sea. And the moment he arrives in the area of the Gadarenes, he faces yet another challenge. Have you ever noticed that in your own personal life as a Christian? You know, sometimes we go through these storms. And when we get through them, all of a sudden, man, there's a spiritual battle awaiting. And sometimes I think it's the enemy trying to keep us from getting to the other side, trying to keep us from ministering to people. You ever notice when you're praying for a loved one or something, and man, all of a sudden it seems as though things get worse. Then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, God opens the door, and there you are, face to face in a situation where God's going to use you. And so here, Jesus faces yet another challenge, Satan and his demonic hosts. Demonic forces that hold men captive through physical, mental, and spiritual bondage. And you know what? The enemy is alive and well today. Look around. There are a lot of people today, even some Christians, that don't believe in a devil, don't believe in demons. I think part of the reason is because they have blinded their eyes, blinded the eyes of the people. My Bible tells me that Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the eyes of people, and they can't see truly what's going on. So here's a man with an unclean spirit, a man who is demon-possessed. Out of the tombs, out of the graveyard, comes this demon-possessed maniac. Demons can easily get a foothold in the lives of people and who open themselves up to demonic practices. Many of you know that we served in Vermont for 12 years. Little, quaint, little, you know, Norman Rockwell type Currier and Ives, Vermont. You wouldn't think that anything demonic would go on there. But on Halloween, they busted a bunch of kids who stole some pets from the local neighbors. They were sacrificing these animals and drinking their blood in small town USA, Vermont. And I got news for you. If you don't think things like that are going on in this valley, you need to open your eyes. Satan is being worshipped. People are in bondage to Satan. Mark tells us here that he lived in the tombs. Jews were to have nothing to do with graveyards. They were not to have nothing to do with the dead. He'd been bound with chains. Even the chains couldn't hold him. And they had real chains in those days, folks. He broke the chains and the shackles in pieces. Can you imagine? You take the chain. No, you take the chain. Go ahead, go bind this guy. No way, that's all right. Go ahead, you do it. Somebody had the courage to go and shackle this guy and put him in chains. And can you imagine what it must have been like when all of a sudden they were just broken like butter? And this guy would scream out all night long in the tombs. Imagine living near that graveyard. I get irritated when my neighbor's dog barks. Can you imagine some screaming demonic maniac screaming out all night long? And he would cut himself with stones. Do you know cutting is very popular among some youth today? They cut their bodies. They cut themselves. And again, small town USA, Vermont, there was a lady near our church that used to cut herself on a regular basis as a sacrifice to the devil. And on her street, within the 12 years we were there, there were at least 10 suicides of people who took their lives in a one-mile area. The enemy is alive and well, folks. I'm looking at this week and I'm going, man, Satan does not reward his servants very well. This man lost everything. Luke's gospel again tells us that he was naked. He lost his clothes. He lost his home. Lived in a graveyard. Lost his family, his friends. He lost his decency, his self-control, screaming, cutting himself, mutilation, terrorizing the community, and he lost his peace. And again, we find those things are prevalent today within our society. You know what's behind a lot of what we're seeing going on in America today is satanic influence, demonic influence. Because we have opened up ourselves to everything and anything in the name of political correctness and not wanting to step on others' toes. We are either going to be one nation under God again, or we're going to be one nation under. It can't happen any other way. And we'll see more about that towards the end of our section here this morning. Never underestimate the power of Satan. He, as we see here, came to steal and to destroy. The Bible says he's a liar. Gee, would you think there's a little bit of lying going on in America today? He's a murderer. You ever seen murder like we see in America today? Law enforcement, people killing their spouses, kids, neighbors. Just pick up the paper. I read a conservative newspaper, and it's filled with stuff like that. And I'm old enough to remember a time when you didn't see things like this in our nation. You respected authority. Your teacher, your pastor, your police officers, men and women that serve in authority. Satan's a thief. He goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. According to Jewish ceremonial laws, this man had 3 strikes against him, being an unclean Gentile, demon-possessed, living in a graveyard, unclean. They were to have nothing to do with dead bodies. It was called ceremonial defilement. And there was absolutely nothing humanly possible that could be done to free this man. Notice I said humanly possible. He was an absolute terror to the whole community. Chains did not work. Shackles did not work. To this day, society still cannot cope with the problems that are caused by Satan and sin. And there's a lot of that going on. So, how much of what we deal with today is caused by Satan and sin? The spirit behind it, demonic spirits. The solution then is the same solution that we have available to us today. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He is the one, the only one that can set the captives free. Got one right here. John tells us in 1 John 1:18 that the Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And as a Christian nation, we have the ability to deal with spiritual things and to defeat the world, the flesh, and the devil. But notice what happens. Look at verse 6. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice. I don't have a loud demonic voice, so I'll just read it. And he said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." Here's the amazing thing, and we can see it as believers. In his omniscience, Jesus being God the Son, in his omniscience, knowing everything, Jesus came to this very place for this poor man who was possessed and tormented by demons. The disciples had no clue what they were in for, but Jesus knew exactly what was going to take place. And what does he do? He graciously and compassionately crosses over the sea for a man who is in deep despair. And we find that all through Scripture. Jesus never went out of his way. Do you know that? It was always in his way to go and to minister to people, be it the woman at the well, the woman caught in the act of adultery, demon possession, lepers, whatever it might be. Jesus Christ had a broken heart for the lost who were steeped in sin. And the same holds true today. Compassion is feeling someone else's pain in your heart. And Jesus Christ feels our pain in his heart. Some even think that the storm on the sea was satanically influenced, because the enemy will try to keep us from ministering to people. Perhaps Satan was trying to destroy Jesus and his disciples and prevent them from coming to this man. Nothing is by coincidence, but nothing can hinder or destroy the great deliverer, Jesus Christ. And he still delivers today. My Bible tells me he came to seek and to save those who are lost, and he's still doing it even right now. And maybe you're sitting here, you don't know Christ this morning. He's still bidding you to come. He loves you. When he sees him, this man sees Jesus, it says he runs and he bows down and he worships him. James 2:19 tells us that even the demons believe and tremble. Pretty heavy, isn't it? They knew more than most religious people know. Isn't it amazing? That a lot of demons know more about eschatology, which is end times teaching, than people go to church every week. Because a lot of people who go to church every week don't read the Bible. And here we see the demons knew who he was. Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Now, doesn't that blow you away? We've seen this over the past few weeks, that the religious hypocrites, the Pharisees, those old wineskins steeped in religion, had no clue that Jesus was the Son of God, but the demons do. Yet, what have I to do with you? He screams. Demons despise everything about God. Do you know that? Demons and the devil hate Jesus Christ. They hate God. But yet they're powerless to do anything but even bow down before him. Because one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess above the earth or under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Philippians 2:10 is the verse that tells us that. They knew that they were standing in the presence of the Son of the Most High God. Right there. They also knew that there is a divinely appointed time when he will judge them and punish them and cast them and Satan into the lake that burns with fire. They knew that. This is why they begged him, in the second part of verse 7, not to torment them. I implore you by God that you do not torment me. They knew exactly who he was. There are many people today, though, unfortunately, that say to Jesus, what do I have to do with you? Even when he was crucified, right before he went to the cross, Pilate stood before the people who 1 week prior were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And 1 week later, Pilate says to them, what will you do with this man who is called Jesus the Christ? And the crowd shouted out, crucify him, crucify him. And you know what? People today are still doing the same thing. There are many people today that say, what would I have to do with you? Go away, get out of my life. I've had people say that to me, sharing the gospel. In convalescent homes, people were on their deathbed, go away, get out of my sight. I want nothing to do with that man. That's pretty heavy. And they reject the only one who can save them. There's only one name under heaven by which you must be saved, the name of Jesus Christ and him alone. The end result they knew for those who rejected Christ was destruction. And all the while, Jesus is making every effort here through his love and his forgiveness and his healing and cleansing and true freedom. He wants to reach this man. And that's still his heart's desire today. That none should perish, but that all would come to a saving knowledge of the truth. This one choice, this one exercise of one's free will has eternal consequences. I hope you know that. Every single one of us is one breath away from eternity. But where will you spend eternity? It's not a matter of rolling the dice, my friends. It's a matter of knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that you belong to Jesus Christ, that you've been forgiven, you're a child of God, and you're going to heaven. Because there's only two choices. It has eternal consequences. And today, the same thing is said. What will you do with this man who is called Jesus the Christ? Look at verse 8 and 9. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. You notice Jesus didn't shout. He didn't scream. He didn't bind and loose. I see a lot of that going on today. I bind you, I loose, you know, all this other stuff. I bind you. We don't bind anybody. If we bound Satan, who's letting him loose again? You know? Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. And all he does, he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered him, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. So there's more than just one demon here. Demons are fallen angels. You know that, don't you? They're extremely powerful. Demons are more powerful than flesh and blood, than mankind. This demon answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. Meaning that according to Roman military standards, a legion was 6,000. This man had 6,000 demons in him. It only takes one word, one spoken word. And Matthew tells us what that one word is, begone. Only one spoke here, but the man was infested and possessed with 6,000 evil spirits, 6,000 demons. That's unimaginable. Unimaginable. Terrifying to think of the horrors that this man must have experienced both day and night. Everywhere he went, 6,000 demons in him, tormenting him continually, cutting himself, screaming all night long. It's hard to even imagine. And this is not a little fairy tale or flannel board story. This is the truth of God's word. This actually happened in the area of Gadara. I have been to that town. It no longer exists, but I've been to that area when we went to Israel. This is real stuff. Satan was determined to destroy this man. And you know what? He's determined to destroy every man and woman and child that he can. But Jesus came to deliver him. Jesus' word is more powerful than anything that the devil can bring against us. I hope you know that. When you deal with spiritual warfare, as Christians, you cannot be demon-possessed, but you can be demon-oppressed. The enemy will try to trip you up, tempt you. He's the tempter also. He'll try to trip you up, ruin your witness, whatever it might be. That's why we need to stand on the word of God. Remember when Jesus met the devil personally in the wilderness? What did Jesus counter him with? The word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written. That's why you need to know the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. You need to know God's word so you can fight spiritual battles. Jesus came to deliver him. The demon now begs Jesus a second and third time. Imagine that. Look at verse 10. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him. Now they're all chiming in, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. This time we see 6,000 demons begging in an effort to delay, or at least they thought, to delay destruction. They begged Jesus to send them into a large herd of pigs. There were about 2,000 pigs, verse 13 tells us. 2,000 swine. They preferred the pig over the pit right now. This very well could have, Jesus could have very well sent them to hell. But the time of judgment had not yet come. Today, as you look at this, I think, you know what? PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, would cry out, cruelty to animals! This is inhumane! As they abort their babies. They had no right to be raising and selling unclean pigs. God warned about it. Jesus, being God the Son, was free to send the demons wherever he desired. And besides, this is where deviled ham came from. Couldn't resist. But Matthew tells us it only took one word, the word begone. And in verse 13, and at once Jesus gave them permission. And the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There was about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned by the sea. When we were in Gadara, there was actually a cliff there in the tour. And you can see how this could all take place. What we see here again is that even Satan and his demons are subject to the Son of God. They must get permission from God before they can do anything. You look at the book of Job, when the devil asked to torment Job. You look at Isaiah 14, where Satan has to report to God. God is in control even over evil things. And to Jesus, the soul of man is worth a whole lot more than all the pigs in the world. And I think we should feel that same way as well. Human souls are worth more to God than the souls of animals. Man is a trichotomy, body, mind, spirit. Animals are just body and mind. They don't have a soul. They don't have a spirit. I know a lot of you animal lovers are going, oh, no, no animals in heaven. There'll be animals in heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. We want people in heaven. We want souls in heaven. You know me, the jokester I am. Somebody said, oh, Pastor Joe, will dogs be in heaven? They had the movie out. Remember, All Dogs Go to Heaven? I says, yes, but no cats. Yeah. Just kidding. I don't want any emails on that one. You know the crazy thing about this? Look at this. Even demons make pigs suicidal. Even demons make pigs suicidal. But the primary lesson here is twofold. Number one, don't dabble in darkness. Why? Because demons will oblige. And there's a lot of darkness out there. I'll tell you what, we went to see a great movie. You want to see a great movie? Indivisible. It's a Christian movie. And it's about a veteran. It's a true story that was in Iraq. The four of us went, and there was two other people in the theater. How sad. Yeah, that's a good movie. And I think it's part of the enemy's ploy. When you get there and watch the coming attractions, they just unleashed out of the pit of hell the worst coming attractions I've ever seen. It's like, are you kidding me? Satanic, demonic stuff. And we're there to watch a Christian movie. Well, you know, I often say one of these days I'm going to go and stand outside the door of some of these shows and see who in the world goes and watches that garbage. Satanic. It's right out of the pit of hell. Secondly, this is proof that Jesus Christ has all authority and power over Satan and his demons. He is in control. That's why we need to be as close to Jesus Christ as we possibly can. Stay close to him. Stay in his word. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit. So now we're thinking, I cast the demons out into the pigs, deviled ham. They're in the Sea of Galilee. Let's party, right? Let's celebrate. We've got this maniac now that's been set free. And oh, no more demoniac terrorizing our cities night and day. No more shrieking and screaming all night long from the graveyard. No more broken chains and shackles and the man gouging himself, getting blood all over the place. We're safe, right? We're free. Thank you, Jesus. Let's throw a big party for Jesus. May he be the guest of honor tonight, right? Wrong. Let's see what happens here. Look at verse 14. So those who fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. And they were so happy, they began to plead with him to depart from their region. Is that not insane? Isn't that crazy? The whole city comes out to see. They come and they see the one who set the captive free. They see the man sitting, not shrieking or screaming, clothed, not cutting himself, in his right mind, not out of his mind. And those who witnessed it all told them how it happened and about the swine. And they all come out and they ask Jesus to leave. Isn't that sad? To me, that's one of the saddest verses in all of the Bible. To me, that's one of the saddest things that can ever happen to a person or a city or a country is to ask Jesus to leave. Guess what? Now the people are begging. Did you notice? Verse 17, they begin to plead or beg with him to depart from their region. They were begging Jesus to leave. Just think about that. The people in the city whose children probably couldn't walk alone to school, wherever they went. Family picnics. There was always this chance of this maniac showing up. And the very same people come out. There's peace in the area now. And they did not even give him as much reverence as the demons did. They knew that he was the Son of God. And they don't even show any reverence or respect to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. They did not have the least bit of interest in finding out who Jesus was, why he had come into their town. They just begged him to depart. They just begged him to leave. You know what they were thinking? Where's the pigs? Where's the pigs? Why? Because mankind without God loves the pig pen more than the Savior. They were afraid. They were frightened. They weren't angry. They weren't resentful. But they were scared. Why? Because when sinful and unholy men come face to face with holy God, one of two things happens, right? Either they say, deliver me, or they say, depart from me. Some people love their sin. They love darkness so much. When the light of the world shows up, they say, hey, we don't want light here. We love the pig pen. Depart from me. Let me say this as well. Two choices, deliver me or depart from me. But there's also a third one. There are people that are indifferent. Guess what? If you're indifferent, you're saying depart from me. Because Jesus Christ wants to save you, and your indifference is a choice of no. They met the one who could control demons, control animals, restore shattered lives and minds and save souls. And guess what? They wanted absolutely nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Do you see that happening in America today? They want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. We take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse. We kick Jesus out of school. We expel him. Our colleges are satanically influenced in every way. And we wonder, what's going on with our nation today, dude? Really? Why? Because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Yeah, and he's doing a pretty good job. They wanted nothing to do with Jesus, and many people today want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Get out of here. Go away. Leave us alone. So, what does Jesus do? Does he argue with them? Does he get in their face? Can't you see I'm God? No. Guess what he does? He honors their request. And you know what? Jesus still honors a person's request today. If you want nothing to do with God, if you want Jesus Christ to depart, he will. And he'll do it quietly and silently. Without one word. Notice what happens. First part of verse 18. It says, he got into the boat. That to me is the second saddest verse in this section of Scripture. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. But the key here, the sad part is, they said, get out of here. And Jesus got into the boat. Not one word. Didn't argue. He's not going to argue with you. My Bible tells me that the Lord will give you the desire of your heart. And if your heart says depart, he will. In contrast to the whole town, we have one last beggar here. And guess who it is? He's going to beg him one more time. Look at verse 18. And when he had got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but he said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. This man was grateful. He was so grateful for his deliverance that he didn't want to let go of Jesus. Lord, don't get in the boat. Can I go with you? I want to get in the boat. He was so drawn to him in love and adoration. He could not bear to see Jesus depart. He had to go with him. Isn't it wonderful for you and I today that another name for Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. He's with us. He lives within us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know what? This is amazing as well. You talk about grace, my friend. Jesus had other plans for this man. I'm going to make you an evangelist. And I'm going to send you back into town with the very same people that told me to get the heck out of here. Isn't that just like God? I just get goosebumps just thinking about it. They told him to get out, and Jesus tells this man to go home. Talk about grace. That's grace. Jesus sent this man right back to his own people, the very people that asked him to leave. Jesus wasn't done with them. Jesus isn't done with America. That's why you and I are here. We have a room full of evangelists here today. Witnesses, light. Salt. Just love these people. That's all. Jesus didn't tell this man, okay, I want you to go and get a degree in theology. No, he already had his BA. Born again. So do you. What's your excuse? We're to be a light and a witness here. And it starts at home. When I got saved, man, it was like all hell broke loose right in my own house. My mom, my dad, sisters, brothers, they wanted to have me kidnapped and deprogrammed. See how that worked? God protects us. The very people that asked Jesus to leave, he sent the man back as a reminder, as a witness, as a testimony of the love of the Lord and the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. So don't run. Don't run to Arizona and Texas. And too many Christians are bolting right now. Stay right where you are if that's where God wants you to be. If he's calling you there, go. But I want to be where God calls me to be. And to be a witness and to be a light and to love these people. And I've learned over the years the greatest tool that we have, my friend. Oh, yes, the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. But the greatest tool that we have is the love of God. He loves you and he loves them as well. So quit criticizing the people who are doing the same stuff we used to do. Man, when I, from first time as a, you know, I was a little bit legalistic when I first got saved, pointing a finger, and then I realized I got three pointing back at me, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then I read what Paul said, but such were some of you. Oh, yeah. It's all coming back to me now, you know. What do you think God got in the package? I tell you what, we got some heavy-duty testimonies in this place. You have no idea who you're sitting next to this morning. Jesus Christ will still offer deliverance to those who even ask him to depart. Because until you take your last breath here on earth, God is trying to reach you. As we close, man, with all the stuff we had here this morning, I'm still 8 minutes early. So as we close this morning, is it deliver me or is it depart from me? What will you do with this man who is called Jesus the Christ? Have you invited him into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior? This is everyone's choice. You will not get into heaven because of grandma, mom and dad, whatever it might be, because my Bible tells me that God has no grandchildren, only children. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we would be called the children of God. So it's your choice. Deliver me or depart from me. That's everybody's choice. How about you? And I would hope this morning, if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, that God has made it very clear to you this morning that you need him. What do I need to do, Pastor Joe? Well, the Bible very clearly says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus died on that cross publicly for you. And you know what? I think it's really, really important for us to confess publicly that we want to receive him. And so if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd like you to stand right now so that God can set you free and make you a child of God. Anyone, as we close, today is the day of salvation. Do you know that you know? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your incredible word. And I pray that this Veterans Day, that we would be reminded that we are in a war against darkness, principalities, and heavenly places. I pray that we, as your army, would have the full armor of God on. And I pray that you would use us wherever we go, Lord. That we would be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we know that the gates of hell shall not prevail. So, Lord, equip us. Give us a hunger for your word like never before. May we hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you, Lord. Baptize us afresh with your Holy Spirit, Father, I pray. Fill us overflowing. I pray that if there's anybody here dabbling in things of darkness, God, that they would clean house, that they would get rid of this junk that's trying to trip them up and stumble them and ruin their witness and even terrify their homes. Give us wisdom, knowledge, insight, spiritual discernment, Lord, in these things, would you please? Thank you, Lord, for this great nation. We're not going to give up, Lord. We're going to fight with all of our might and plead and beg you, Lord, that you would turn this nation back to you, that we would truly be one nation under God. Would you do that, please? And as I've said many times, revival does not begin at the White House. It begins at my house. And who are we to point the finger at the White House if our house is in disarray? We love you, Lord. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the precious kids that sang. Thank you, Lord, even for that old video of our brother Red Skelton. Thank you, God, for everybody here, our veterans, men and women that served you. Thank you for the worship. We have so much to be thankful for, Lord. Even now as we go upstairs for a barbecue and to break bread and have fellowship with one another, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the body of Christ. I pray for every marriage. I pray for every prodigal child. I pray, Lord, for those who are suffering physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, God. Just help, Lord. We love you. We thank you for this morning. Thank you for the freedom to still carry this precious book called the Bible and to worship you in spirit and in truth and to gather together as Christians, Christ followers. We love you. We praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand one more time.